Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to superfans to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods, too, by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world,
it's Fire Nation time, Book of Fire. Let's go! Listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements on Apple Podcasts
or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
From the most trusted journalists at Comedy Central, it's America's only source for news. This is The Daily Show with your host, Michael Costa.
I'm Michael Costa. We have so much to talk about tonight. A Supreme Court justice is in the hot seat. America wonders if its drinking water should have less poison. Plus, a live performance by Vampire Weekend. Oh, my God. Holy shit. Let's get into the headlines. I'd like to start tonight with a topic that's pretty important to me, all right? Water. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'm like 60% water, okay? It's kind of my thing. And if you'd like to put even more water in your body, well, here's some news worth celebrating.
This morning, the Biden administration is announcing the first ever national standard for some harmful chemicals in drinking water.
And a new U.S. rule will impose the first ever limits on PFAS, or so-called forever chemicals, in drinking water. The EPA is now requiring utilities to reduce the toxic chemicals to the lowest level that can be reliably measured. The agency claims this will reduce exposure for 100 million people and help prevent thousands of illnesses, including cancers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like not getting cancers. Now, I know it's not cool to say nice things about big government, but this is kind of exactly what it's made for, right? I mean, that and bailing out banks, but that's not the point. Look, personally, I'm not worried about forever chemicals because my Brita filter's still been going strong after 9 years, but... It's still a good idea to cut them out, even if it costs money. Now, people have called me a big spender, but I am willing to pay a little more for water that doesn't make everyone I love throw up and die. And it's the same reason I buy name brand Cheerios and not the Asbestios on the bottom shelf. Now, it'd be one thing if forever chemicals tasted good, like if they had that same flavor as the cucumber water sitting in the lobby of that Hampton Inn for who knows how long. You know, then I'd be like, yeah, it's worth getting the cancer. But since there's no flavor, I mean, this is a no-brainer, okay? Water is supposed to be healthy. That's why your one weird coworker has that giant bottle, because she wants to rub it in your face how healthy she is. And it's not just water we have to clean up. Did you see this news about Lunchables today? I mean, it turns out that they have dangerous amounts of lead. Why do we do this? Why do we poison everything? Lunchables are supposed to be healthy. Okay, they're not, but they shouldn't have f***ing lead in them. How did lead even get in there? I guess if I were an aspiring chef and I ended up working at Lunchables, making food for a bunch of little shits who have no palate and obviously no understanding of umami, I might just grind up a bunch of pencils into their food, now that I think about it. But let's move on. If you're one of those people who likes sending handwritten letters on special paper to your loved ones, first of all, stop. Nobody wants to read all that. Just send a text. And second of all, sending letters just got more expensive.
Stamp prices are about to increase. The U.S. Postal Service files a notice that it plans to raise the cost of the first class forever stamps from 68 cents to 73 cents.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's right. The price of a stamp is going up 5 cents, which doesn't seem like a lot because it's not. Look, I know it's not cool to say nice things about big government, but the post office, everybody, it's still a pretty good deal, okay? Imagine if it didn't exist and some Silicon Valley tech bro pitched this as a startup. All right, listen up. It's called Blue Box, okay? Now, you take a letter, you put it in any blue box anywhere in the country. We'll find it. We'll transport it to anywhere else in the country within 3 days. And the best part, it'll only cost you $40 a month, $45 without ads. And of course, we get to steal... Of course, we get to steal all your personal data. But welcome to Blue Box. It's very hard to cancel. That was my blue box. Right? Yeah. Post office. And finally, let's talk about the Supreme Court, the law's final boss. Ooh. This crowd is mad at the Supreme Court. We've had no shortage of reminders lately about the Supreme Court's shift to the right. They overturned Roe. They killed affirmative action. Last summer, they issued that ruling that just said no homo. And part of the reason conservatives were able to do all that is Ruth Bader Ginsburg resisted calls to step down when Obama was president, which meant that when she died, Donald Trump was able to appoint her replacement. And now the Democrats are at a high risk of losing the presidency and Senate in November. They're thinking, maybe we shouldn't trip over our own dick a second time?
Growing calls from the left for Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor, one of their own, to step down and leave the bench. The point for the 69-year-old Sotomayor to retire while Democrats control the White House and the Senate, and then they can choose her replacement.
Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal recently voiced support for Sotomayor stepping down, saying, you know, we should learn a lesson, and it's not like there's any mystery here about what the lesson should be.
Yeah. Yeah, there sure isn't. Obviously, the lesson is RBG should have retired, or if they would have listened to me, turned her into some immortal robo-judge. But for some reason, neither of those things happened. And now Democrats are trying to avoid that mistake with Sotomayor, but it's a tricky situation. Sotomayor is 69 years old, which by definition is nice, right? And it's a little ironic that Democrats are trying to push her out at the exact same time they're trying to elect a president who can tuck his testicles into his sock. But on the other hand, it's just smart politics. And I know people are saying this isn't fair to Sotomayor, but you gotta have a little perspective. It's not like they're gonna melt her down to make the new justice. She gets to retire. She's gonna make money. She's gonna sit by the pool. She won't have to spend her days pretending to like her coworkers anymore. She can spend them pretending to like her family. And I don't care if she retires or not. I just hate that we have to go through this every few years. And like everything else in America, this is the Founding Fathers' fault. They decided, for some reason, that the Supreme Court justices get lifetime appointments, and now they're basically the forever chemicals of democracy, and it's not great for the rest of the country. Yeah. It's not great for the rest of the country, and it's certainly not dignified for the justices. Everyone's first thought when you die shouldn't be, yes, a job opening. All right, here's my proposal. If they're going to get to stay in the court for their entire lives, at a minimum, the justices should be required to lead more dangerous lives, you know? You can stay on the court as long as you want, but you have to do an annual running of the bulls, right? But if Sotomayor does retire before November, who will Democrats replace her with? To find out, we go live to the Democratic Party headquarters in Troy, Iwata. Yeah. Troy. What are Democrats looking for in a new justice? I assume a liberal track record, some racial diversity.
Nope, youth. Mm. Their only requirement is youth. If you make any noise when you stand up, they don't want you.
Okay. Okay, so who are Democrats looking for? A judge in their 40s?
I said youth, Costa.
Okay, well, I'm in my 40s, so.
Oh, ew. Younger.
Okay, so, like, a law student?
Okay, so they're thinking of going baby. You know, like really taking advantage of that full lifetime appointment, birth it, slap it, wrap it in a robe.
Hold on. Troy, that's ridiculous. Babies aren't allowed to be in the Supreme Court.
Oh, there is no age limit to be on the Supreme Court. Check your constitution, you tall bitch.
I mean, okay, but how will you even get a baby through a confirmation hearing? They'd be screaming and crying the whole time.
I work for Brett Kavanaugh.
Oh, okay. All right, but hold on. Hold on. A baby can't do the job of a Supreme Court justice.
What, you mean sit and bang their little law hammer while wearing a sleep sack? I think a baby can handle it.
Okay. All right, and I can't believe I'm even asking this, but how would Democrats even know the baby will be liberal?
Well, they'll just bribe them. Babies are super easy to bribe. You just give them a juice box and they'll rule however you want.
All right, that's really unethical, Troy, and you can't bribe a judge.
All right. I'll ask Clarence Thomas if he's okay with it.
Okay, well... Has the gamesmanship of American politics really come to this, that we're putting a baby on the court?
Okay, all right, fine. We'll stick with the current plan, where all our rights depend on which of our decrepit jurists' body wear out the fastest. Is it Sotomayor? Is it Clarence Thomas? Spin the wheel
okay,
of death,
you know what?
Then
you're
we'll
right.
find
you're
out.
Right. You're right, you're right. Baby judge is easier. Troy Iwata, everybody. When we come back, Vampire Weekend will be here. Don't go away.
All benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on Apple Podcasts
or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Daily Show. My guests tonight are the members of the Grammy Award-winning band Vampire Weekend. Their new album is called Only God Was Above Us. Please welcome Ezra Koenig, Chris Baio, and Chris Thompson. I mean, they certainly didn't do that when I came out. So, you all met while you were at Columbia together, which I'm pointing to Uptown.
That's right.
What was there a backup plan if this didn't work out? Let's start with you, Baio.
I was gonna maybe teach math for 2 years.
Teach after. Math.
Yeah,
okay.
I took the LSAT and stuff.
Yeah,
and,
he aced it. You should say.
Yeah. He aced it.
I did rather well at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like being a musician better than being a lawyer.
What was your backup plan, Ezra?
Well, there was 1 year where I had a real job after graduation before the band took off, and I taught eighth grade in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn.
No way. Oh, wow. What did you teach?
English.
Taught English.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you have a thing with words.
Definitely. Yeah, it's all connected.
What about you, C2?
I also had a real job for 1 year.
Okay.
Not too far from here, I used to work at Sony Music Studios as an entry-level tape archivist.
Tape archivist?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that doesn't even exist now, does it?
I don't think it does.
No, it doesn't. Your album is tremendous. I love it.
Thank you.
The song. Yeah. I read somewhere that Vampire Weekend has a superb return to form. What, I mean, are we thinking about this in the studio and recording? Are we thinking about our form? What is Vampire Weekend's form? Does that annoy you even that someone else is talking about your form? It would annoy me a little bit.
No, that's what you hope they say every time.
Right.
We returned to form.
Yeah.
We went home and we returned to the form.
Right, right.
It's hard to say because we've made 5 albums now and they're all pretty different from one another.
Yeah.
It's funny. I know it when I hear it. That's how I feel about what sounds like Vampire Weekend.
Recently, though, a lot of you, I believe, you're iconic New York City band, but you now live in L.A.
Yes.
I mean, what the f***? No, I mean, what? We have earthquakes here now, too, you know?
I know, it's true.
Has that done anything for the band? Has it adjusted in you in any way? Let's start with you.
I guess it's been really nice all being in the same city for the last 5 years because we were spread out for a while. I lived in London for a period of time, and I feel like, you know, we hang all the time. We see each other every week when we're home. It's, like, really nice.
What's your response to L.A., helping the band or hurting the band?
I like L.A., and, you know, I know a lot of... like any place, it's... spent, like, our producer, Ariel, who produced this album, he... born and raised in L.A., and I just think anytime you're in a city and you spend time with people who know it, grew up there, love it, you come to love it, too.
Well, it's a well-trod path.
CT.
Yeah. New York musicians go to L.A.
Yeah.
There's always a chance for return. You never know.
Yeah.
I think there's just a lot of great people out there that we've been able to work with in the studio and live and stuff. It's felt like really vibrant for us, I think.
I can certainly say, as a comedian, going somewhere new always helps a little bit. Mm. You know, I got some new ideas. In L.A., you don't interact with anybody. I'm sitting on the bus now instead. But Only God Was Above Us. Explain the title of the album a little bit.
Well, we were lucky that we found the cover kind of early in the process. And it's this amazing photo taken by a guy named Steven Siegel, who took all these amazing pictures in 1988.
Not that Steven Siegel.
No, not that Steven Seagal.
Okay.
Not Steven Seagal.
Sorry, excuse me, that's Steven Seagal.
Who I think's birth was
you know
probably...
You said earlier that if I f*** up, we're going to edit something out?
Yeah.
That's what we'll edit out.
I have a feeling... I think Steven Seagal was probably born Steven Seagal.
Absolutely. And I think then, you're right. He changed his name. Thank you very much.
But so there's a photographer, Steven Seagal, and the images were all taken in this... what he described as a subway graveyard. So all the cars were overturned. So he took these really surreal pictures of these gritty 80s New York subway cars. And it was such a good image. And I kept thinking, like, where's the Vampire Weekend going to go? And eventually I realized, why ruin this beautiful image? And the only text on screen is the newspaper, which is a daily news headline, Only God Was Above Us. So at first I kind of thought, well, that works. But then as time went on, I started to feel like this is the perfect title, actually.
I also love when a band... doesn't need to plaster its name all over the place. There's a confidence with that. And that's your fifth.
Good.
It's your fifth album. You know, maybe maybe that played into it. I don't know. The song Mary Boone, can you describe a little bit about who is Mary Boone? Where did this come from?
Well, Mary Boone's a very important figure in the downtown New York art world. Came to prominence in the 80s, you know, which is an amazing time for New York art. Well-known gallerist, and this song is kind of about the... you know, people coming from to the city trying to make it. And so, I don't know, I kind of picture the person singing the song as like addressing her, like an artist or something who wants to take it to the next level.
Do you remember when this band took it to the next level? Was there a moment when you said, holy shit, we actually have a little bit of money in the bank or we can eat something now? I don't have to teach math the rest of my life?
Well, no. One moment where I felt like maybe early on we leveled up was we played our first gig in Brooklyn in 2006 at Pete's Candy Store
for about
30 people, but it was the first time...
They're all here, apparently.
That we packed it out because that's all it fits, but we played Mansard Roof, A-Punk, and one of our other songs for the very first time.
Okay.
And it felt like... really, with us, it was the first time we maybe had enough music to make an album someday. So that was something that was very exciting that I remember.
Do you remember leveling up, Ezra?
I mean, there's been so many small levels up. I mean, look, like you said, the band started in New York. We all have deep New York connections and heritage. So even on our last album, 2019, when we finally played The Garden. I mean, because that's true. From Pete's Candy Store to The Garden.
CT, level up. Nobody ever talks to the drummer, you know, so this is a big moment.
I appreciate you having me out, quite frankly. I think the one that comes to mind is the first time we played Glastonbury, which is a big music festival in England.
Okay.
And, you know, we're like 24-year-old knuckleheads, and all of a sudden we're playing for 50,000 Britons, and it's just oh my goodness, how did I get here? One of those moments where it was really just, I barely remember the set, but I remember the feeling right before it.
That's so cool. I say that to myself every time I sit here. How did I get here, and how stupid is everybody else to put me here? You record a lot of this album in New York, London, L.A., and Tokyo. I have so many questions. How, why, how did that transpire?
Well, so, I mean, you know, L.A. and New York, we're always in L.A. and New York, but...
I just thought a band, like, goes to their studio, and then 3 weeks later they drink whiskey, and they fight, and then 3 weeks later they have this album. Is that not how it works? Am I mistaken in my assessment of the music industry?
If only.
If only.
Some people are blessed, and it works out that way. Okay, we like to take our time, but the... I was living with my family over the last few years for a while in London and then Tokyo, but my wife was working in both those places. So it was good to be somewhere different, have some time apart. And then Ariel came out and we found studios. And so, yeah, we just ended up recording in those cities.
The real reason I brought you here today is I want to talk to you about your podcast.
Okay? Oh, thank you.
Okay,
all right.
Literally, the whole reason you're rock stars is so you don't have to do a podcast.
That's a good point.
Like, yeah. As a comedian, I'm like, I have to do my podcast. But it's like, you guys don't even have to do a podcast. But tell me how this started. What is it about? You asked me backstage how tall I was. But it seems like you said we talk about this a lot. What the hell does that mean?
Well, so...
You're like, you were sizing me up. You're going to kick the shit out of
me
or something?
No.
Just curiosity.
Wearing a hockey jersey. I mean,
no. Well, yeah. If you haven't heard our new podcast, it's called Vampire Campfire.
And they invited their whole studio production crew here.
I think one of the origins of it is that in the fall, when the record was almost done, we went up to Oregon for the first ever Vampire Weekend corporate retreat.
Oh, wow. Right.
And corporations have been having corporate retreats forever, but I don't think many bands have had corporate retreats.
Sure.
So it was very fun. But the last night, we were on the ocean and had a nice fire going and sort of discussing our plans and stuff like that. And I think it's just really fun to sit around a fire and talk about your future and talk about the things you want to achieve. So that was like one of the reasons why we did Vampire Campfire Vampire Campfire.
For anyone who hasn't listened to it, what are we going to find? What are we going to listen to?
Well, we did talk about height recently.
Comparative heights.
What does that mean?
I'm 6 feet tall, but I'm the shortest member of the band.
Yeah.
Because these two guys are 6'2". So people always ask which one of them's taller.
Okay.
It's actually him.
Oh.
Some people think it's... So we were talking about our... Got us interested.
That was actually my next question.
And so we got kind of interested in our relative heights and also the height of the fictional character Jack Reacher.
Yeah.
Because the character is taller than the actor who plays him.
Correct.
And you're somewhere between the actor and the character.
And I'll let you talk in a second, but I was furious when Tom Cruise played Jack Reacher. I mean, it was like this is. But I love that show. That show is. Male ego at its finest, isn't it? I just want to get a cup of coffee. I don't want anyone to bother me. Oh, shit, I have to kill everybody.
Right.
Very cool.
Yeah. What's the podcast do for you?
Well, you know, I think a big part of being in a band is, can I say, bullshitting?
Oh, my God. Yes, please.
And just kind of, like, chopping it up on the bus and airports. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of sitting near each other while in motion.
Right.
kind of the biggest part of being in a band.
True.
And yeah, I think we just were thinking about this record and how it feels and how it feels for us to be together. And it was just kind of felt like, oh, this is something we're kind of doing anyways. Like, this is something we could share and it contextualizes in a cool way.
Who doesn't want to hang out with their favorite band? And that's what the podcast can be. So Vampire Weekend, Bayo, Ezra, CT, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Only God was above.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements on Apple Podcasts
or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's our show for tonight. Now here it is, your moment of zen.
So can I have 30 milkshakes and also some chicken? I'm going to take care of the customers. This business is good. You're making a lot of money. Everyone can get rich, right?
This has got a great American franchise, Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, they do very well. They're closed on Sunday.
It's the Lord's Chicken.
That's the Lord's Chicken.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show, wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Jump into the epic world of Avatar: The Last Airbender
with Nickelodeon's official companion podcast, Avatar: Brave and the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Listen to Avatar: Brave and the Elements on Apple Podcasts
or wherever you get your podcasts.